Yes, if a person is extremely sick whereby he is unable to sit on the floor, then only may he perform salah by indication. There is plenty of negligence in this matter nowadays. A person has any minor excuse also, he'll sit on the chair and perform salah. If it is possible for him to go into sajda, then his salah won't be valid because he has to make a full sajda. If a person does not have the strength to sit, he should lie down with a pillow or a large cushion behind him in such a way that his head is raised quite high. In fact, close to the sitting position. His legs should be stretched towards the Qibla. If he has some strength, he should not stretch them. Instead, he should raise his knees. He should then offer his salah by making gestures, and the gestures for sajda should be lower than ruku. If he cannot lie down by having a pillow or cushion behind him in such a way that his head and chest can face the Qibla, he should stretch his legs towards the Qibla and lie flat on his back. However, he should place a pillow under his head, so that at least his face could be in the direction of the Qibla and not facing the sky. He should then offer his salah through gestures, and the gestures for sajda should be slightly more than the gestures for ruku. If a person does not lie flat on his back, but instead lies on his right or left side while facing towards the Qibla and makes ruku and sajda with the gestures of his head, then this is also permissible. However, it is better to lie flat on the back. So as long as a person can perform salah, if he's sitting, whatever posture he can sit in, be it cross-legged, be it keeping both his feet upright, as long as whatever he's capable of doing and he's comfortable doing, then he should do so. Likewise, if he's lying down, if he can't do it the ideal manner, then however it is possible for him to lie down and move his head for ruku and sajda, he should do so. If a person does not have the strength to even make gestures with his head, he should not offer salah. If this condition remains for more than 24 hours, he will be completely excused from offering salah and will not have to make qada after recovering from the sickness. But if this condition did not last for more than 24 hours and he regained the strength to offer his salah with gestures, then he should make qada with gestures. He should not delay his qada anticipating recovery. If he passes away without having made qada, he will die as a sinner. The same ruling applies to a person who becomes unconscious. A person becomes paralyzed and becomes so ill that he is unable to make istinja with water. He should wipe himself with toilet paper or lumps of sand and offer his salah in this way. If he cannot make tayammum himself, someone else should make it for him. If he does not have the strength to even wipe himself with toilet paper or lumps of sand, he should offer his salah in this very state and should not miss any salah. It's not permissible for anyone to look at his body or touch it, such as his mother, father, son or daughter. However, it is permissible for the husband to look at his wife's body and the wife to look at her husband's body. Apart from the spouses, it is not permissible for anyone else. A person missed a few salahs while he was sound and healthy. He then fell ill. So he should make qada of these salahs while he is sick in whatever way he can. So if he missed a salah while he is healthy, he is performing salah standing with full Qawma, standing properly with the full sajda, and now he's sick, yes, he can only perform salah while sitting down or while lying down, then in this manner he should make the qada. He should not wait and think that he will make qada of them when he is able to stand, or when he begins to sit, or when he is able to make ruku and sajda. These are all thoughts influenced by shaitan. Piety demands that qada be made immediately and not be delayed. If the bed of a sick person is impure and will cause the sick person much difficulty if it were to be changed, it will be permissible to offer salah on that very bed. Normally, if there is some impurity, najasat on the bed sheet, some blood, urine on the bed sheet, then it's not permissible to read salah while lying down on this. But if it will cause you much difficulty to change it, then it's permissible to offer salah on that very bed. A doctor carried out an eye operation upon a person and prohibited him from moving about. He should continue offering his salah while lying down. If a person gets tired because of the qira'ah being very lengthy and finds it difficult to stand, it will not be makruh, thus it will be permissible to lean against a wall, tree or pillar. Weak and old people find this necessary, especially in taraweeh salah.
I'm sorry, in taraweeh, taking too long, legs are really painful. Can you sit down now?
As long as you can manage to stand, stand. Then you can sit down. Confirm this to what it is. With a catheter, a person can still stand and read salah, if I'm not mistaken.
Sometimes you can stand, sometimes you can't.
in that condition it's not possible to remove it, then he has to, and it's considered to be something external, not attached to his body, because anadasati is not on his body itself, it's kept in a separate bag. I confirm the storage. The person whose next chapter is regarding Salah on a journey, just to clarify, if a person comes back to his city, as soon as he enters his city, his suffer ends. So his hometown, Watan Asli. Once you enter the Watan Asli, so once a person enters Durban, his suffer ends, and then he'll do full Salah. I don't know if there's any, there might be a Mufti that says your Watan Asli is your locality itself, but generally all Mufti say it's the city.
It's not the door-to-door story.
The door-to-door is for the distance, counting the actual 77 kilometers.
But on the return journey, what you are saying, what you consider to be the boundaries, where
as soon as you enter, as soon as you enter the city, your hometown. Azadwil is not linked to any other surrounding area, and Azadwil is considered to be its own area. So once you leave Azadwil, you can make Qasr. You have to read full Salah. Even if you're stopping in Jamia, you have to read full Salah, full four rakats. Even on your return back, if you're stopping in Jamia before you go home, you still have to read four rakats. The person who sets out with the intention of travelling three manzils is regarded as a musafir in the Sharia. The moment he leaves the boundary of his town or city, he is a musafir according to the Sharia. As long as he remains within the boundaries of his town or city, he will not be a musafir. Presently, the musafir distance is estimated to be plus minus 77 kilometers. If a person is termed a musafir according to the Sharia, he will only offer two rakats for Dhuhr and Asr and Isha, that is for the Fard. The ruling with regard to the Sunnah Salahs, if that he is in a hurry, then apart from the Sunnahs of Fajr Salah, it will be permissible for him to omit the Sunnahs. If he has ample time, then he should perform the Sunnah Salah as well. There is no concession in Fajr, Maghrib and Witr Salah. So Dhuhr, Asr and Isha, the four rakat Salah, the Fard will only read two rakats. Fajr, Maghrib and Witr are three rakats. There's no way to shorten this three rakat and read one and a half or one rakat. And regarding the Sunnah, if a person is travelling, he is on a journey, then he can leave out the Sunnahs. If it will inconvenience him, it will take extra time. But once he is settled in an area, although he is a Musafir, he should read the full Sunnahs. But even the first ruling regarding leaving out the Sunnahs doesn't apply to the two rakat Sunnah of Fajr Salah. It's mentioned that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never left out the two rakat Sunnah of Fajr Salah. So from all the Sunnah Salahs, the most virtuous and the most emphasized Sunnah is the two rakat Sunnah of Fajr Salah. If a person mistakenly offers four rakats, but he had sat down after the second rakat and recited At-Tahiyyat, then the first two rakats will be regarded as Fard and the other two rakats as Nafil. He will also have to make Sajda Sahu. But if he did not sit after the second rakat, all four rakats will become Nafil and he will have to repeat his Fard Salah. If a person reading Salah on his own as a Munfarid, or the Musafir is the Imam, and after two rakats he sits down At-Tahiyyat and he stands up, he reads a full normal four rakats, then he has to make Sajda Sahu. If he doesn't make Sajda Sahu, as long as the time remains for that Salah, he has to repeat the Salah. Once the time passes, then he doesn't have to repeat the Salah. But if he read the Salah in such a way that he did not sit in Qa'da after the first two rakats, so after second rakat he stood up straight, then he'll have to repeat the Salah. Musafir. But if he's reading behind the Imam that's a Muqim, then he'll read the full. That's the only time he'll read the full four rakats. This is common in Taraweeh also. After two rakats, sometimes the Imam stands up, straight from Sajda he stands up. In that case, he has to go back down, return to the second rakat, to the Qa'da, and complete the Salah with Sajda Sahu. Once he goes on to Sajda of the third rakat, then the first two rakats become invalid. So whatever Qirat was read in the first two rakats are not valid. Now if he completes the third and fourth rakat, then those two rakats will be valid. The qirat done in those two rakats are done. And the first two will have to be repeated, because the sitting at the end of the salah is necessary. So if he stood up after two rakats, it's as though the two weren't complete. But because he's in salah, so it will count as though this, he doesn't have to make takbir at tahrima again for the second two rakats.
If he sat, then
the salah is valid. The second two, that's if he didn't sit. If he sat after two rakats and then stood up, which is unlikely. Generally, if you make a mistake, you know, you don't sit in between Taraweeh Salah, make tashahud and stand up. But if he does sit, read two rakats, sit down tashahud and then stands up, then all four rakats will be valid. So once he's in the third rakat, he has up till the time he goes into sajda. So while he's standing, while he's in ruku, he can still return. But once he goes into sajda, then he has to repeat the first two rakats. If it's the same night, you'll repeat the two rakats. If it's you read it the next night, there's no qada for nafil salah or sunnah salah. So you just repeat the qiraat that was read in those two rakats. If a person stopped at a place during the course of his journey, he will remain a musafir if he made the intention of staying at that place for less than 15 days. He will have to continue offering two rakats for the four rakat salah. But if he made intention of staying there for 15 days or more, he will no longer be a musafir. Thereafter, if he changes his intention and decides to leave before 15 days, then too he will not become a musafir and will have to offer all his salahs completely. When he leaves that place, he will become a musafir only if he intends travelling a distance of 77 kilometers or more. If his final destination is less than 77 kilometers, he will not be a musafir. Very important, musafir. Many people get mixed up with this. You count your duration, your safar is counted from the time you make intention. So if you go to an area and you stay there for 10 days, you'll be musafir. After 10 days, you make intention to stay for another 10 days. So although from if you count on the beginning of your stay at that area, till the end it's 20 days. But from the time of your intention, you never had the intention of staying for 15 days, so you won't be a musafir. So like this, if after every 10 days you make intention of another 10 days, you can stay there your entire life also, you won't be a muqim. Likewise, if a person is traveling and he makes intention, if he is traveling from here to Maritzburg, somewhere where he'll not be a musafir, less than 77 kilometers. Once he reaches there, he makes intention of traveling to a town that's another 70 kilometers away. So from the time of the intention, he never had the intention of traveling for 77 kilometers, so he won't be a musafir. But the important thing in safar is the time when you make your intention. For how many days? If you make the intention to extend for 15 days, then you'll become muqim.
Another 15.
If the intention is for another 10 days, you won't be muqim. You're still musafir. Because from the time of the intention, you're not making intention for 15 days. There's a hadith that show the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Sometimes they would go to an area, and for a few months they'll remain musafir. Or sometimes a famous Muslim, even if an army, if they go to a certain fort, they besieging the fort. At any time they can conquer the fort and leave. So they don't have an intention of staying for 15 days. So even if they stay there 1 or 2 years, they carry on in that area, they can remain musafir. But they don't have, from the time of intention, there's no intention for staying for 15 days. A woman left with the intention of traveling approximately 92 kilometers. So she would have been musafir. However, the first half of the journey passed while she was in a haid. Even then, she will not be a musafir. So if a woman starts a journey in a haid, the safar is not counted as a shari'i safar. She will have to travel this distance while she is pure. She will have to have a bath and offer the full four rakats. However, if she became pure from a haid and there is still a distance of 77 kilometers or more remaining to reach her destination, then she, in this case, she will become a musafir. Or when she left home, she was pure and got her haid during her journey, then she will be a musafir and will have to offer her salah as a musafir. A person stopped at a particular place for 2 or 3 days, but due to certain circumstances, he does not leave that place. Every day he makes the intention of leaving the following day or the next day, but he does not leave. In this way, he stays at that place for 15 days, 20 days, a month, or even more than that. He will be considered a musafir, irrespective of how many days he stays there, as he never made the intention of staying there for 15 days. So every time he made the intention, it was for less than a period of 15 days, so he'll remain a musafir. A person intends to stop over at several places during the course of his journey, 10 days in one town, 5 days in another town, 12 days at a third town, but does not have the intention of stopping over anywhere for 15 days, he will still remain a musafir. Now this doesn't apply if you're staying in Overport, Sherwood, Ashaban, because all are part of Durban. Now if you're staying in Durban or you're going out, you're going to Amshalanga for 10 days in Durban, 10 days in Amshalanga, you'll still be a musafir. If you're staying 10 days in Ashaban, 10 days in Sherwood, and this is more than 15 days within Durban, so in this case a person will not be a musafir, he'll be a muqim. A person relocated from his hometown and became a resident of another place and has nothing to do with the first place. He his former hometown will now be equal to any other place in regard to traveling. If his former residence forms part of his shar'i journey and he intends staying there for a few days, he will remain a musafir. He will have to offer all his salahs as a musafir. Similarly, is the case of a woman who marries and lives with her husband, that is, after leaving her hometown due to marriage. She will be a musafir if her former hometown forms part of her journey. And only if a person is a musafir and he happens to pass through his town, as soon as he enters his town, his safar ends. Once he leaves his town, his safar will start again. But if you relocate from a town to another town, and you take all your belongings with you, you have no link to this to your former town, then in this case, it no more remains your watan asli. So if you go back to the town, you'll still be musafir, unless you make intention of staying for 15 days or more.
What happens in a case where you have people, they stay, say, in Dublin? They're going to Joburg, maybe they stay there for a year or two. They still keep their home in Dublin.
Still remains their watan asli. Joburg will be a watan asli because they don't have intention to remain there permanently. So the maslahs of 15 days or more will apply every time they go to Joburg.
No, I mean when you come back to Durban.
Durban will remain watan asli. So as soon as they enter Durban, it's still their hometown. As soon as they enter Durban, the safar will end. Generally, you don't have, when you go to Marcus, they'll give you a route for a few days. So you don't have intention of remaining in one place. They can't send you out of the town to a close town that's nearby. So you've got no intention of staying for 15 days or more. So you should be musafir. But in Jama'at, generally, you read most of the salahs behind the imam. So it won't really affect masala unless you're reading salah on your own. A person must a few salahs of his while on a journey. Upon returning home, he will have to offer only two rakats when making qadha of Dhuhr, Asr and Isha. If he misses any salah such as Dhuhr before embarking on a journey and he makes qadha of it while on a journey, he will have to offer the full four rakats. So if a person missed salahs while he was at home and now he's in Jamaat, he makes toba, decides to make qadha, he will have to read full four rakats qadha of every salah he missed. But if he missed salahs while he was on a journey, and then he comes back home, he will only have to read two rakat salah. So this you consider the end of the time, when the time of the salah finished, whether a person was a musafir or muqim. So he might have been traveling in the beginning portion of the time, but the end portion of the time he was at home, in his hometown. So he'll have to perform four rakats qadha in this case. If a woman wishes to travel 77 kilometers or more, then as long as she does not have a mahram or her husband, it will not be permissible for her to travel. It is a major sin to travel without a mahram. It is not good to even travel less than 77 kilometers without a mahram. Prohibition in regard to this has also been mentioned in hadith. A person makes an intention, many people inquire if a group of ladies are traveling. This might be one of the other madhahib, Shafi'i madhab. But in the Hanafi madhab, even if there is a group of ladies traveling, she cannot travel with them. Every female has to travel, either her husband or a mahram. Mahram is someone who a lady is not allowed to marry. So the masala replies, it's where they specifically mention a mahram, a brother, father, son, she cannot marry, or her husband.
Now we have people going to Umrah and Hajj without a mahram. Is the Umrah and Hajj?
Umrah and Hajj is accepted, but she's sinful for traveling without a
mahram.
Like waking up for Sari and eating something haram to start your fast. Be sinful for what you ate, for the sin, but the actual fast will be valid. A person makes an intention of staying for 15 days at two different places, he will be a musafir. This is two different towns. If a traveler is residing in a certain area for 15 days, and during his stay he travels for 77 kilometers or more and returns to spend the night in the first area, then he will only be a muqim if he intends spending more than 15 days after his return. If he intends departing before 15 days, he will be a musafir. This applies generally if a person goes for Umrah. Either he goes to Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, and then he goes for one day, he goes for Umrah and comes back. And if he's staying in Medina Sharif, his total stay is 20 days. So But if you cut it in after 10 days intense, you got intention of going for Umrah and coming back to Medina Sharif. In Ramadan, many people do that just to get the reward of sawab of Umrah in Ramadan. The stay before his trip is less than 15 days, after his trip is less than 15 days. So although his total stay is 20 days, he'll be a musafir for the full 20 days. Some people even, they, as a group, they leave Makkah or Medina and they go out shopping, generally from Makkah Sharif. So they go more than 77 kilometers and then they come back. Or you go out for ziyarat and you travel more than 77 kilometers and return. So in this case, you'll have to count your stay before the trip and the stay after the trip. If each one is 15 days or more, then just for that period you'll be musafir. There is some ikhtilaf on this masalah. Some of these have a set more detailed to it, but this is what Darul Ifta, and this is what you go with. Travelling 77 kilometers will break the watan al-iqamah. If a person is residing in two different suburbs of one town, he will remain a muqim in both places if he intends to stay there for 15 days. For example, we gave a person staying in Ashraful and Sherwood. So his total stay is 15 days or more, then he'll be a musafir for the entire stay. A muqim can follow an imam who is a musafir. When the musafir imam completes his salah, the muqim muqtadi should stand up and complete his salah. He should not make any qirat. Instead, he should remain silent. This is because he is regarded as a lahiq. Since this muqtadi is following this imam, the first qa'da will also be fard on him. Once the musafir imam makes salam, it is mustahab for him to inform his followers that he is a musafir. And even better than this is to inform them before commencing the salam. If the imam is a musafir, he'll perform two rakat salat, and those who are behind him will complete the two rakats in such a way that they don't recite Surah Fatiha or a Surah. They'll stand for the duration of Surah Fatiha and go down into Ruku. And it's preferable that the imam should make an announcement before he starts salah and after he starts salah that he is a musafir. A musafir can also follow an imam who is a muqim as long as it is within the time of that salah. If the time is expired, then the musafir can follow the muqim for the Fajr, Maghrib salahs and not the Dhuhr, Asr and Isha salah. This it happens commonly in traveling at the airport musalla or musalla on the way in some train station. Or the people that are reading salah, they make jama'ah, they combine between Zuhar and Asr. So they'll make two jama'ahs immediately one after the other. They'll make two rakat Zuhar, immediately two rakat Asr. For us, we can only follow them for the Zuhar salah. If they're reading a salah out of its time, or in Zuhar's time they're reading Asr salah, Asr's time they're reading Zuhar salah, then you shouldn't follow them in that. If a person is able to stand and perform salah on a plane, then he should do so and there isn't any need for repetition. However, if a person sits in the plane and performs salah, one salah will have to be repeated after landing. So this is for fard and wajib salah, fard and witr. Commonly, if some people are going for umrah, then the two rakat salah of ihram is sunnah. So this salah you can read sitting on your seat. It's not necessary to stand and read it. So you can stand, read your fard salah, and then sit on your seat and read the two rakat salah. So the four rakats you're reading will be facing Qibla. The two rakats after that you're reading, nafil and sunnah salah, once you're out of the town, you don't have to face Qibla. So you sit on your seat, whichever direction the plane is flying. So although fard you might be facing the left or the right, but once you sit on your seat, you'll read the two rakats facing whichever direction you're facing. If you're not sure, then you should read your own. Preferably, or you join them, you make intention of nafil and then you read your salah again. Sometimes you don't join, they get offended that the salah is carrying on. You'd rather wait for them to leave if there is time. And sometimes it results in some friction between them. They get upset, why are you not following, why are you making your own jamaat? That's permissible. The only time that's not permissible is in a normal masjid, it becomes makruh. So in a masjid that's not on a pathway or not in an airport. In that masjid there can only be one salah from the front of the masjid. If you're performing a second salah, it should be in the second section or somewhere else. If masjid that's on a pathway, on a road, on a highway, on in an airport or something like that, then you can have multiple jamaats. There's no, it's not makruh to do that.
The 77 keys is the travel route, not the shortest route.
The actual travel route. Some people do that. If the destination is just less than 77, they take a few extra turns, go one or two roundabout and become musafir, because they travel 77, to make themselves travel 77 kilometers.
It's not as the bird flies.
It's the destination that you travel. If a person flying towards the west is able to perform his five salahs at its fixed time, then he should perform his salah as soon as the time enters. However, if the day is extended, whereby the five salahs do not fit into the days, into a 24-hour period, then one should estimate the salah times as performed on a normal day and perform salah accordingly. There is a website and application that it's older.
Yeah, I saw that. That came out a few weeks ago. Right? But say in the absence of that, what rules do you apply? Because like for Maghrib, you wait. Like it's,
look,
wait till the sun disappears. You
just look out of the window and
yeah.
see the...
Say like for Asr and things like that. To do an estimate and hope for the best. That is very difficult.
I generally ask the attendants and they are aware of the times.
Depending on the airline. They can even tell us the mikat.
Ethiopian airlines, they don't always announce the mikat. The website is called Halal Shop. Website and app. So you put your time, your flight details, and it gives you each salah time.
If you are traveling between two places, you stay in both places, and the distance is not any
You stay in both places, as in you have a house in both places, you have belongings in both places. Then in that case, if both places will be regarded to be a watan asli, your hometown. But when you're traveling between them, because the distance is more than a safar distance, on the way you'll be musafir. As soon as you enter any of these towns, your safar will end. So while traveling, you'll be musafir. Because generally, if you're reading full salah, you're reading four rakats. After two rakats, you're sitting and standing up again. So if the time remains for that salah, you'll repeat. Once the time passes, then there's no qadha for it. Regarding sajda sahu, from best is our. If any one or several of the wajib acts of salah is left out forgetfully, it becomes wajib to make sajda sahu. By making sajda sahu, the salah becomes proper. If one does not make sajda sahu, the salah will have to be repeated. That is, repeated in the time. If one forgetfully leaves out a fard act of salah, the salah will not become proper by making sajda sahu. It will have to be repeated. It said all the rest of the faraid and wajibat of salah. So if any of the faraid are left out, then the salah has to be repeated. If any of the wajibat are left out or moved from its place, then you have to make sajda sahu. The method of making sajda sahu is that in the last rakat, the person should recite the attahiyat only, and thereafter make salam towards the right only, and thereafter make two sajdas. He should then repeat the attahiyat, and thereafter recite the durood, dua, make salam to both sides, and thereby complete his salah. After attahiyat, after tashahud, make one salam, make two sajdas, and then start again, your tashahud again. A person forgetfully makes sajda sahu before making the salam, even then it will be considered and the salah will be proper. So if you make, just before you end of your salam, you remember you need to make sajda sahu, then also you can do so. If a person forgetfully makes two rukus or three sajdas, it's wajib to make sajda sahu. While in Salah, a person forgets to recite Surah Fatiha and only recited another Surah, or he first recited a Surah and then recited Surah Fatiha, such that Sahu will become wajib. A person forgets to recite another Surah after Surah Fatiha in the first two rakats of a Fard Salah. He should therefore recite another Surah in the second two rakats and also make Sajda Sahu. If he forgets to recite another Surah in one of the first two rakats, he should recite it in one of the latter two rakats and also make Sajda Sahu. If he forgets to recite another Surah in the latter two rakats as well, that is, he forgets to recite another Surah in the first two rakats and in the second two rakats, and only remembers at the time of reciting At-Tahiyyat that he did not recite another Surah in any of the rakats, then the Salah will become proper if he makes Sajda Sahu. To recite another Surah after Surah Fatiha in all the rakats of Sunnah and Nafil Salah is wajib. If a person forgets to recite another Surah in any of the rakats, he will have to make Sajda Sahu. After reciting Surah Fatiha, a person began thinking as to what Surah he should recite. If his thinking took so long that the time Subhanallah could be recited, in that time Subhanallah could be recited three times, so he's silent for the duration it takes to read Subhanallah three times, in this case Sajda Sahu will become wajib. In the last rakat, after reciting At-Tahiyyat and Durood Sharif, a person had a doubt as to whether he offered three or four rakats. While thinking about this, he kept silent and took so long to make the salam that in that time he could have recited Subhanallah three times, and after that he remembered that he offered all four rakats. Even in this case, it's wajib to make Sajda Sahu. A person recited Surah Fatiha and another Surah, but thereafter he unintentionally began thinking of something. He took so long to go into ruku that in that time he could have recited Subhanallah three times. In this case, Sajda Sahu will become wajib. As I mentioned, if even during his qiraat he has to stop for three Subhanallah, stop and think of something, or he has to sit up for the At-Tahiyyat in Tashahud and he doesn't commence reciting immediately, or he recited At-Tahiyyat and then he kept quiet, or he stood up from ruku and stood up silently, or between the two sajdas he stood up, he sat silently. So in other words, if he delays unintentionally in executing a particular posture or gets delayed due to thinking of something, then Sajda Sahu becomes wajib. In a three or four rakat far salah, irrespective of whether it is a salah he is offering for that time, making qadha of his salah which he must, or it is the witr salah or the first four rakats of sunnah of dhuhr salah, when the person sat for At-Tahiyyat in the second rakat, he unintentionally recited At-Tahiyyat two times, and Sajda Sahu will become wajib. It's an important masala. After reciting At-Tahiyyat, if he recited the following from the durood, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, or he recited more than that, and then he remembered that he's supposed to stand up for a third rakat, then Sajda Sahu will become wajib. But if he recited less than this, he didn't recite Muhammad, he recited Allahumma salli ala, and then he remembered he has to stand up, then Sajda Sahu will not become wajib. In a three or four rakat salah, a person forgot to sit down after the second rakat. Instead, he stood up directly for the third rakat. While standing up, if he is closer to the sitting posture, he should sit down and recite At-Tahiyyat and thereafter complete his salah, and there is no need to make Sajda Sahu. But if he is closer to the standing posture, he should not sit down. Instead, he should continue with his salah without sitting down. He should only sit down at the end. In this case, Sajda Sahu will become wajib. If after standing up, he still went back and sat down, he will be committing a sin, and even in this case, he will still have to make Sajda Sahu. Because once you're closer to a standing posture, it's as though you're standing. And now to leave a rukun and go back to another rukun is not permissible. If you're closer to a sitting posture, you still haven't stood up, you haven't went into qiyam, so you can sit down again. But once you stand up, then you must continue your salah. You don't leave a rukun and go back. Because in witr salah, if you forget to recite dua kunut and you go into ruku, then you don't come back up. You continue your salah and make Sajda Sahu. You recite. So if you forget to pick up your hands, but you recite the dua kunut, namaz is valid. But if you don't mention the takbir has to be said, Allahu Akbar, that's wajib. Lifting up the hands is sunnah. If you forget the takbir, then you have to make Sajda Sahu. Or if you forget the kunut completely, so after your surah you go into ruku. In ruku you remember, you continue your salah, you don't come back up. You finish your salah and you make sajda sahu at the end. You make sajda sahu. You did your durood and then you remember. In that case, you'll make sajda sahu and then you'll start again at tahiyyat, entire tahiyyat. The first time you're getting a doubt in salah, then you don't consider the doubt. If you're doubting whether it's 3 or 4, you doubt, you were sure you read 4, now a doubt, you got a doubt whether you read 3 or 4, then you continue, you're in your 4th rakat. But if it's the second or third time it's happening where you're getting a doubt, then you take the lower number. So you'll add the extra rakat. And now if it's in the beginning of salah, you're doubting whether which rakat you're in. So you'll set after every rakat. Because any rakat could be the second rakat. So you'll sit down and the end you make sajda sahu. So you're standing up in salah, you don't know if it's your first rakat, second rakat, in a 4 rakat salah. So after every rakat you'll sit down at tahiyyat and that way you'll read the full 4 rakats again. Same thing. Sunnah Salah, you'll read Surah and Surah Fatiha. Surah Fatiha. You don't delay your ruku to the extent of 3 subhanallahs. So you go down into ruku and continue your Salah. You read Surah Fatiha and then you recite the Bismillah again. You continue your Salah as normal because the duration is very short. It takes to read Bismillah. Like if you read Bismillah slowly or you delayed it, a long duration, then you'll have to make sajda sahu for delaying the next rukun to going to ruku.